So, like, can you just kind of speak to just the whole manifestation thing?
Well, we can yield to God, or we cannot yield to God. There is some choice in the matter. There is an unholy spirit, there is an enemy, and when he takes a hold of people, I watch. I live in Africa, I've been in Asia for years, and I watch what the enemy, what the dark force, the dark spirit does to people, and he will shake them around, and he will cause them to convulse and all kinds of counterfeit things. He's a spirit too. When spirit touches human flesh reacts. So when unholy spirit, a demonic spirit, touches human flesh, it reacts. You can watch it anywhere. Anyone who lives anywhere where they see demons coming and manifesting can watch and do it. It's anybody. They don't need to even know God to watch it. It's just clear.
Legacy! Legacy! The greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. Prophesy over them.
Shabba, shabba.
And I'm like, why don't they get someone else to stop them or something? And they just don't. That's why God keeps showing up here. It's because they don't, even no matter what it looks like. I mean, this looks weird. If it was me watching, I'd be like, that's weird. It is me. I'm in it. It's happening to me. And it's weird.
Now, one of the very clearest signs of a Kundalini awakening has always been these kriyas. You see this woman involved in the New Age movement, she's walking along exhibiting these kriyas happening, involuntary jerking motions. And the staggering thing about it is that we are seeing again and again and again these exact same type of kriyas. This has always been one of the clearest signs of Kundalini that we know of.
We're hopeless. How? It's grace, beloved. We've got to step into a place of grace. How? Aren't you glad we waited? Oh. Oh, what a relief. Do you know what a relief it is? Where you just, wow. I got desperate. I got desperate. I can't go back. I can't go back to the old way. I can't go back to just getting up and starting to talk. I can't go back. Do you want to go back? Anybody want to go back? Ho! Oh, we can't go back. Before I go forward. Because I'm not going back. thank you very, very much for loving the poor. And thank you for loving the poor all these years and blessing us. We are very grateful. Yes. Oh, that's the only way we can feed our babies is when God talks to people. Oh, thank you for listening. Thank you. Hi, God Channel. Welcome. I hope you all get wrecked. Oh. I even remembered that. Okay. Well, this is a sequel. Wow. Yes, I am laying hands on myself. It's true. What you're imagining is true. I'm laying hands on myself. Oh. Okay, Shandai. Has anybody tried to bear fruit on your own? A few honest pastors. Anybody really worked at it, especially hard? 18-hour days, maybe? Oh, what did it produce for you? What did it produce for you? Do you want to line up and testify what all your effort produced? Do you want to run up here and tell us all? Exhaustion. That's why you're all still sitting there. Exhaustion. Oh. Wow. I've been pretty good, you know, till now. Just, whoa. Not really. It's just, ooh, sometimes the anointing's different at different times. Have you ever noticed that God has a personality? Wow. And He likes to take over ours. Wow. The things that God has done in me as I yield are hard for me to imagine. But tonight I heard Him say, wait. And there's so much of the fear of the Lord in me that I am not going to step out of that place. Because if I do, then I'm stepping into a place of striving again. Oh, I'm stepping into a place where I'm going to try to push my way into a place that I can't get to. God wants to change the way we think. He wants to change the way we do ministry.
Yes, you are indeed seeing a man in a diaper. Now, I'm sorry it's out of focus. That's the way they put it up there. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to play this. have it. That is, I have to say, one of the most shocking things I've seen in a quote-unquote church building. I mean, obviously Bethel is a complete and utter cult, but this is what we are, this is how bad it's gotten now in churches, where people are actually laughing with this man wearing a diaper. Now, I'm not being funny, but that is disgusting. That is just disgusting. Unfortunately, going through the video, you see these little children, little boys, and they're laughing and they're looking at this, and in their little minds, they're connecting God with this.
I live with the joy that I have the greatest job in the entire world, but I also have the most important job. I realize I shape what the entire world looks like in 20 years. Our biggest priority is to make sure these kids encounter God. We're gonna have a perfect health zone in this room, in this church, and then in the entire city. In this church, and then in the entire city. In this church, and then in the entire city. In this church, and then in the entire city. In this church, and then in the entire city. In this church, and then in the entire city. I asked the little girl where the angels were in the room, and she pointed off and said, "There's one over there by the first graders." So I asked her, I said, "Do you know why he's here?" And she took off, and I think she went and talked to the angel. And when she came back, she said, "He's here for healing." So I had her send all the kids over to the first grade mat where the angel was. And just a little bit of time later, every single child was healed in the room, and no one even had to pray.
We had a mom come to us recently, because I'm the children's pastor. If you're a visitor, I'm the children's pastor here. But our team, a mom came to one of our team, and she was so excited for what's happening with her son. Her son was in kids' church, and they were having this an encounter day where we build stations, and the kids, like, we keep the lights down a little bit, we play music the whole time, and the kids go from station to station, and it's designed for them just to experience God in different ways and different places. And at one of the stations, he's laying there soaking, and the teacher's saying, he's asking them to picture Jesus in their mind and interact with Jesus in their imagination, which, if you don't know, the word imagination in the Greek language is also translated heart. Yeah, Ephesians 1:18 and Luke 1:51. You can look it up later. BlueLetterBible.org. Check it out. But so that's just for all the people. Some people have a problem with the imagination, and God doesn't. So this little boy, the teacher was saying, picture Jesus in your imagination. And so the kids are there soaking and closing their eyes. And then the teacher says, if you can't see Jesus, it might be because you're so busy looking at so many other things that you can't see him.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a side of China's history the Communist Party doesn't want you to know about.
In China, they want to inform you to become a new socialist person. This is the purpose of the labor camps.
Underneath a facade of kitsch propaganda lies a system of forced penal labor in prison farms known as Ligawai. By 1956, Mao's communist revolution was complete. To ensure total censorship of counter-revolutionaries, Soviet state experts were invited in to develop a gulag-style prison network numbering over 1,000.
The major job in the prison camp, to survive, to find the food, that's it.
At age 23, Harry Wu was sent to the prisons from 1960 to 1979 because his father was a banker and therefore linked to the capitalist class. Wu now lives in America and directs the Ligawai Research Foundation and the Ligawai Museum.
In 19 years, I never read, never write, never do anything. I just like an animal.
When Mao died in 1979, political prisoners from the Ligawai were released, including Wu. In 2013, the Chinese government officially abolished re-education through labor camps, but rights group Amnesty International warned that the move would be an empty gesture if they simply abolish one system of arbitrary detention only to expand the use of others. Wu returned to China in 1991 with 60 Minutes to document the former Ligawai prisoners.
They went with me and they went into the labor camps. They met the prisoners and they make a film. Since then, I always try to tell the people that how many camps, where's the location, and how many people. I estimate probably 1,000 labor camps and probably more than 40 million people was in the prison camp.
Today we begin a special series on the shocking conditions within China's re-education through labor camps. Now with cell phone camera footage that has just been smuggled out of China, the international community is being given a rare glimpse of life within these camps.
This is Masanja Labor Camp, also referred to as the Ideology Education School of Liaoning Province. Practitioners of the Falun Gong spiritual practice as well as house Christians are held here, often without trial or formal sentencing. Forced labor is one of the tactics used here to reform what the Communist Party considers improper political or spiritual beliefs. Prisoners at Masanja often work from 5 a.m. to midnight. Sometimes they're forced to work through the night without sleep. If they are given a chance to rest during the day, it's on the factory floor. Mealtime means a few scraps of cornbread and maybe some congee or a tiny portion of vegetables. Then it's back to work. In this footage, 8 Chinese prisoners can be seen straightening electrical components called diodes. Not shown here is some of the other work that they're forced to do, including manufacturing Halloween decorations, like skulls and plastic tombstones, for export to the United States. Some prisoners have to handle toxic substances without protective gear, causing itching, throat pain, and lung problems over time. In this place, not every prisoner is able to survive the conditions. Mr. Dong Chen was a Christian from Fuxin City in Liaoning Province. Because of his affiliation with an underground church, he was sentenced to 2 years of re-education through labor. As told by his fellow prisoners, in December of 2007 he became severely ill with high blood pressure and was sent home to be hospitalized. But after a week, his family could no longer afford medical treatment, so Dong was taken back to Masanja labor camp and resumed his heavy workload. On the afternoon of May 25, 2008, he vomited and lost consciousness. Prison guards ignored him for several hours until he died at around 9 p.m. He was 56 years old. Labor camp officials later told Dong's family that he had died from natural causes. This is just one of many examples of life and death within China's labor camps. Other such camps are scattered throughout the country. Although it's impossible to get an accurate official count of how many prisoners are being held in these camps, human rights groups estimate it's in the tens of thousands or more.
Here in China, there is such darkness. But even in the midst of this darkness, we are experiencing God's victory. I became a believer 10 years ago. I heard about Christ when I was on a business trip. After that, my entire family came to Christ. But we are not free to share our faith with others. If you are spreading the gospel, Chinese government treat you as a criminal. They want to control the number of Christians. They want to control what God is doing. I hear from time to time of brothers and sisters being persecuted and arrested. Last week, a good friend of mine was taken by the Chinese police. He was questioned and then beaten so bad that he almost died. All because of spreading the gospel. In the city, everywhere you look, there are apartments. Since we can't meet in public, our ministry takes place in the buildings we live in. In the evenings, brothers and sisters in Christ gather together in homes. This is our church. If you ask people on the street, most have never heard of Christ or read the Bible. No one in their family is a believer. The dangers here are driven by darkness, and that darkness can be quite fearful, especially when I think of my family. But God never fears, and He will overcome. So I want to go and share, despite being at risk. Every day, I have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ. Even if it means I could go to prison. For who can have victory over God? Nobody, no matter what country.
Yeah, the house church, the existence of house church is really in comparison of the existence of the so-called three-self church, which is a government-sanctioned Protestant, church denomination, we can call it. It's called three-self patriotic movement. They enjoy the government protection, you can call it. But the majority of Chinese Protestant Christians chose to worship in the house, in their own houses. And that's why it's called a house church. And it's, from 50 to 60 million members. Most of the house churches worship independent of the government control. By that nature, they're subject to persecution at any time, and they were declared as illegal according to the government definition of legal status. We, as house church members, we have to be careful, and usually, we worship. It depends on the city or in the countryside. If it's in the countryside, you worship in the early morning. You pray for 2 hours, and then on Sunday or even Saturday, you have the worship time for a long time. And many of the leaders almost all of the leaders had been persecuted in one way or another, as most of the senior leaders had experienced a long-term imprisonment. And the pastor who married my wife and I, Pastor Alan Yuan from Beijing, had experienced 22 years and 8 months imprisonment. And the pastor who actually baptized me was imprisoned for 17 years. And among the house church pastoral leadership, there's a loose, you know, network. And there is a famous saying that, you know, the first theological course for the house church pastors is called prison theology. So everyone has to, you know, taste the imprisonment as their first theological course for their faith. And of course, Chinese government regarded the house church movement as a political threat. But the leadership, which, you know, means this three-self patriotic movement, the central leadership, provincial and local leadership, this TSPM organization and the other one is called Chinese Christian Council, CCC, they are really nothing but a political organization just with religious uniform. And many of them are undoubtedly Communist Party members or secret Communist Party members. So they chose to be more loyal to the party's interest than to the believers' interest.
Reporting in Xinjiang, in China's far northwest, feels like traveling in a war zone.
So we're here in Urumqi, which is the capital of Xinjiang, in a market downtown. The security here is incredibly tight. There are armored cars on the street, police stations on every corner, and tons of surveillance cameras.
In the past year, police have stepped up security. The region is now under what's probably the most intense government surveillance in the world. Here, China is experimenting with futuristic spying technologies. We came to see what life looks like in a place where your every move can be monitored. To be in Xinjiang means being checked every day, multiple times a day. When you go to a market, when you drive a car, when you take a train, even your smartphone is checked. As reporters, we were stopped dozens of times by police in just a few days. Our interviews were interrupted. We were detained and chased out of town. Daily life can be exhausting even for people who approve of the security, like this wine shop owner we met.
It's very difficult.
In Xinjiang, Chen has taken his methods of mass control to a new level, turning the region into a laboratory for new surveillance technology. ID cards loaded with personal details are used to track people's movements. Residents have different levels of freedom based on factors like ethnicity and religious practices. Goods that are deemed dangerous are tightly controlled. If you want to buy a knife in this cutlery shop, for example, the purchase is tied to your ID, as this salesman demonstrates. The system also tracks faces. An immense network of security cameras, some equipped with facial recognition, is constantly monitoring the streets. Facial recognition systems are also used to match people with their ID cards, everywhere from shopping malls to gas stations. Authorities use artificial intelligence that can alert them if someone in a video is walking too fast or parked in the wrong spot. The government has also massively increased human surveillance. It has recruited 6 times more policemen this year than it did in 2015. Cities are now dotted with brand new police booths.
Rob, a video was released today to encourage people to donate money to support Reading's neighborhood policing unit.
Earlier this year, the city council voted to accept a $500,000 donation from the church to help fund the neighborhood police unit, a decision that was met with some criticism from citizens.
Alabama Senate just passed a bill that grants the Briarwood Presbyterian Church an amazing new power. The bill would endow the church with the power to, quote, appoint and employ one or more persons to act as police officers, and would give members of the church police department, let's not pass that over too fast, all of the powers of law enforcement officers in this state. Now, why has it come to this? Why does the church get to have its own police department as an individual organization that they control? Well, spokesperson Matt Moore said in a recent statement that they need it. They need their own armed police force to protect its over 4,000 parishioners, as well as its on-site K-12 school and seminary. Well, if that's the precedent, then every megachurch around the country will soon have its own armed police officers that it exclusively controls, so get ready for that.
He says the unit is a proactive force rather than a reactive force like Reading Police. Chief Paletti didn't speak during the meeting, although some members of the public did. Julie Winter is a member of the Bethel congregation and a city council member. Julie Winter is a member of the Bethel congregation and a city council member. Tonight, she did not vote on the issue because of her relationship with the church. Councilmember Francie Sullivan had this to say to people skeptical of the church's influence over the city council's decision.
If you have documentation that that's happened, it needs to be reported. If you don't have documentation, then I think you need to be more optimistic and hopeful and respectful of the people that you elected, including a member of Bethel Church.
Bethel representatives say it'll take some time to figure out exactly how the money will be raised, but they may work directly with the policing unit in order to build a marketing strategy.
But now we have this article from Fusion. You're being secretly tracked with facial recognition, even in church. And it brings up how the CEO of a facial recognition software company, Face 6, says there are more than 30 churches around the world using his church's tech.
The neighborhood policing unit was on the chopping block and set to be cut at the end of June because of lack of funding. However, they would still be short $740,000 to keep the unit, which Bethel hopes to raise by June.
Spino says the UAVs could also be used in search and rescue operations, narcotics investigations, and SWAT operations to conduct random surveillance on citizens. That's why the Reading Police Department is looking into unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, as a tool to help them in their investigation.
Right on the whether to accept a donation from Bethel Church that would help the police department fund an unmanned aerial vehicle program.
Taps into the central servers of Apple, YouTube, Skype, Facebook, Google, AOL, PalTalk, Yahoo, and Microsoft.
Bethel Church has offered to donate $25,000 to RPD.
The National Security Agency and FBI have been amassing a vast trove of communications data that was, until just recently, undisclosed to the public. One part is the phone call records of millions of Americans. A second is codenamed PRISM and involves the collection of communications via some of the largest tech companies in the U.S. How does PRISM work? The point of the $20 million program is to find the proverbial needle in the haystack that has acknowledged the existence of a pair of highly classified surveillance programs.
The use of predator drones has revolutionized surveillance, often costing millions of dollars to build. But a new generation of drones is hitting the market, often about the size of a kite and a fraction of the cost of other surveillance methods like helicopters. While only a few police departments in the U.S. have been cleared to use these small drones by the Federal Aviation Administration, but privacy advocates continue to voice concern over putting these eyes in the skies when people don't know they are being watched.
On citizens.
To help us, again, get an aerial perspective.
Vote to accept the money from Bethel. The program could be operational.
The Alabama Senate just passed a bill that grants the Briarwood Presbyterian Church an amazing new power. The bill would endow the church with the power to, quote, appoint and employ one or more persons to act as police officers, and would give members of the church police department the church.
Legacy! Legacy!
Many who have followed the writings on this site are all too familiar with how the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA have turned your pastor into an agent of the state.
And it brings up how the CEO of a facial recognition software company, Face 6, says there are more than 30 churches around the world using his church's technology. He launched the service just 4 months ago and says churches are already using it to scan congregants' earthly visages to keep track of attendance at events in order to know who wasn't there so they can check up on them.
And as such, your pastor has been trained to invoke Romans 13 in order to enforce compliance with government edicts, no matter how draconian, in a time of national emergency.
Luxray beats.
It's a rare thing in this town because there's a lot of Bethel-friendly churches that do stuff with them here, and it's really sad.
All right, we're out of here. That's it. Bart waved to the people.